We're dealing with the shifting season, and this morning I want to talk about the Savior's guide to crowd control. The Savior's guide to crowd control. So let me begin like I did earlier this morning by saying these are now the confessions of an extroverted introvert. These are the confessions to begin of an extroverted introvert. You ready? I don't like crowds. But let me be specific. I don't like being in crowds that I can't control. Let me be more specific. I don't like crowds where I'm not at least doing what I'm supposed to be doing for God. You see, I've preached to thousands. I have friends that got huge churches. They've had me come through, and I've been able to preach to thousands of people. And that's cool, because when you're standing in a spot and everybody kind of looking at you and you're doing what you're supposed to do, it's just what you do. But I got this thing about when people start to converge on you, you know, like I'm a big guy. I know I can take care of myself, all that stuff. I can handle myself. You know, most situations, nobody gonna really mess with me, because they see my size, so they assume something might happen if they come across me the wrong way. But sometimes, you know, when a lot of people converge at one time, it's kind of like the walls are closing in. And you get like, how can I get out of this? Even if it's like 8 or 9 people in a confined space, it gets kind of like, oh my God, I'm like, what am I gonna do? I try to find some more open space somewhere. Not because I don't like people. Like people just fine. Matter of fact, if you're real nice to me, I'll crack a joke with you every once in a while. Matter of fact, if you're actually funny, I'll laugh with you. You know, I ain't got a problem with people. But crowds sometimes can get out of control. And that can cause some stuff to happen. So if I can control it, I'm cool. If I'm with people that I like, I'm cool. I can grin and bear it. That's why I don't invite me to gala events unless you're going to be there. Because I don't want to get dressed up and then be around a bunch of people I don't know and then be bored and eat dry chicken. Crowds can be kind of. But then when you look at Jesus, Jesus was really good with crowds. And the reason he was so good with crowds, besides being the Son of God, was because, you know, he had a healthy way of dealing with everything. When he needed to go away, he went away. When he needed to sit down somewhere, he sat down somewhere. When he didn't want to be bothered with nobody, guess what he did? The text would say, sometimes, you know, the Bible will say he'll just go away. Sometimes he'll go into the woods and be with nature. When he wanted to be around a few folk, he said he'd go away and be with his disciples, be with some folk that could fill him back up. But he did healthy things to deal with crowds. And when I think about the mission of the church, where we're going, what we're to become, all these different things, I realize that if we're doing all the things we're meant to do for God, eventually we're going to be dealing with crowds. You see, a lot of people teach in churches about church growth, and they want all kind of people to be around. They want everybody to just keep on reaching. And, you know, we reach these goals, and yes, we put out the one mission. Yeah, 290, right? That's a goal. And I realize that for some people it seems like it's impossible, but it's really not impossible. Because if you start doing stuff for the Lord, people will kind of show up, and if nothing else, they'll try to check out and see what's happening. I mean, people are nosier for less. Like if you get a new car, people will want to take a look, not to say congratulations, they just want to see and assume how much money you make. Because you driving a new ride. You know, people are nosier for less. But when the things of God start happening, people start taking notice. And crowds do come. And one of the things we have to be careful of, church, is that as we are growing and as we begin to do the things that God has called us to do in this area on the south side, crowds will come. But crowds don't mean growth. Let me say that again. Crowds don't mean growth. Crowds mean that you have a mixture of people that are trying to figure out what's going on. You have some people that are going to come because they know that Christ is at work. And they want to see Christ at work. And in some instances, they want to connect with that. They want to connect with something that is different than the same old ho-hum kind of stuff. Don't you know that most people that go to church anymore, they don't want to continue to deal with the same old stuff, but they want some things that are dynamic. And I'm not even talking about how worship is. They want to see the church on the move, making an impact in the community, reaching out to folk, talking to people, really doing some stuff that makes some sense, like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, all that kind of stuff. You know, really changing the environment where they're planted. There's other people that are in the crowd. They're people that all they want to do is just start trouble. They want to be there to try to say that this was all about you. And they try to give you backhanded compliments. Do you know what a backhanded compliment is? Backhanded compliment is one. It's not what you may think, but a backhanded compliment is one where they plant a seed to make you think that what is being done was by you and you alone. That's why I get nervous when people say I do a great job, because I can't hold on to that. Because I know if to preach, God has to give me the power. If to do anything, God has to give me what I need to do it. So I get leery of people that compliment me too quickly. Crowds are full of people and things and situations. But it may not be a church thing that you're thinking about, but it's your own life. You deal with crowds on a regular basis, and it may not be a whole lot of people, but it's a whole lot of stuff. There are things that crowd your mind, crowd your heart, crowd your spirit, that try to distract you and deter you from continuing to do what you are purposed to do. Everybody deals with crowds, and we have to learn how to deal with properly controlling what is happening around us. Look at this. Jesus was doing one of those healthy things. He had just finished teaching, and he's on his way, where it says in 7th verse, he withdrew with his disciples. He was not going on a ship to be around a bunch of people. It was just him and 12 other guys. They were going to the ship, getting away from everybody else. The text says, as they went to the boat, the crowds came. He didn't have an established meeting. He did not have a preaching engagement that was going to be on the beach. The text says he withdrew with his 12 to go on a boat, to get away, but the crowds came, and they came from everywhere. And the reason the crowd came, they heard about what he was doing. They heard about what he was preaching. They heard about him healing. They heard about him providing. They heard about all that stuff. And he couldn't get enough time to himself, so he said, since they're here, let's set up. So what I need you to do, get this other boat ready so I can stand on it, because I don't want the crowd to crush me. Because people were pressing and clamoring for what he had. But in that crowd was people possessed by demons. And those demons bowed down because they knew who he was, and They kept crying out, "You are the Son of God." And even then, Jesus decided, according to Mark's account, to hush up those people and basically tell them, "Don't you let nobody know who I am." In other words, it wasn't time for all that. So he had to keep the demons quiet. And he had to withdraw from the people who would have probably crushed him because they wanted so much from him. But yet he focused enough on them to still minister to them. Crowds are not evidence of growth. Crowds are, though, evidence of the environment you and I are called to minister to. So we have to learn how to properly treat the crowd. And in order to treat the crowd, here's some things that you can take with you in order to deal with ministry and mission over popularity. First, you got to examine the bigger picture. You got to see the bigger picture. Jesus got on a boat, and the text says that he withdrew, which means he left. He took a step back from where he was. Some people don't like taking steps back because it means to them all of a sudden you're going backwards. And that's not necessarily true. Sometimes you need to stop what you're doing and really look at the whole thing. You got to. Okay. Let me help you out. Let me help you out. Let me help you out about what I go through when I'm up here in the pulpit. And this is why sometimes I got to laugh to myself. Because there was a day I was always in the congregation. And of course, when you're a kid, you don't pay attention to it. But then you get called to preach. You got to be in the other spot. You start seeing stuff. Every now and then, I throw on my glasses. I take a step back when I'm not preoccupied with what I got to do. And I just look out. And I see all kind of stuff. I don't know why people think they're invisible when they sit down in the congregation. And they think they're getting away with stuff. And, you know, I'm not that guy to be like, you know, just try to call people out. But come on, man. You know you can be seen by people, right? I mean, I see people go to sleep. I see people, you know, try to sneak in through the back. I see people try, you know, they trying their best not to let their candy wrappers make noise and all that kind of stuff. And you know they trying to halfway whisper to each other with something good, and they don't realize they can't whisper. But here's the thing, I wouldn't be able to see that if I was all up in your space. I'm going somewhere. You can't see what God is doing when you are preoccupied up close with everything. You think everything in your old life is going wrong, and you don't realize that God is really working it out for your good because you're preoccupied with the wrong thing. Okay, come on. We gonna shout before it's over, but can we shout early? Some of you wouldn't be here in this spot right now that you're in if you didn't take a step back and let God unveil to you how this thing is really working. You would still be where you were if you didn't stop and take a step back. Jesus took enough of a step back that the crowd couldn't crush him. And he was able to then what? Minister to them in a manner that was really going to help everybody. You and I can't minister to anything going on around here until we really recognize what's really going on around here. People make assumptions because they're what? They're up on it, but they ain't really taking a seat back and looking at the bigger picture. You can say that certain things look a certain way because of X, Y, and Z, but you don't really know for certain. You can say that kids aren't paying attention in classrooms because they're preoccupied with the internet, but you don't realize that there's a whole lot of kids that don't have access to the internet to be preoccupied with. So they may be dealing with things that are beyond just. Come on. they might be in a position where they're preoccupied with everything else because they're hungry. They may not be succeeding in school, not because they're not smart, but because they don't have anybody at home to reinforce that they are intelligent. People may not be coming to the church, not because the church is quote unquote messed up, but because maybe, here we go. You ready for this one? I want to hit you dead in the mouth, and if it applies, let it burn, okay? People may not be coming to church not because they have an issue with Jesus, but they got an issue with the representatives. So maybe your brand of Christianity is so off that you can't compel nobody with the gospel because you ain't walking it out, which may require you to take a step back and ask God, how do I get myself together to represent you best?
Yes.
You can't just talk about how good God is in front of a bunch of folk just to try to prove to folk that you appear spiritual. You got to walk that thing out daily. You can't just say that I have reached a certain place in spirituality and that's it. Are you crazy? God is so vast and God's spirit is so powerful that wherever you think you are is only scratching the surface of what God can do in your life. But first, take a step back. Is this all that I'm going to be able to do, or is there more? And for Jesus, there was more.
Yes.
They came because of what they heard. Take a step back. Secondly, you've got to prepare yourself for the disruptions that are in the crowd. The disruption that was in the crowd were those that were possessed calling out who he was. And he said, keep your mouth shut, because that ain't what I'm on. Think about this. There are things that come into your life, good and bad, that will expose who you really are. But they're not there in support of who you are, but they are there to hopefully tempt you into believing that you are the reason you are who you are. There are a lot of churches that take pride in programs, in this, in that. Don't worry, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about what I know. There are places that take pride in certain things that they do, and that's all they do. Some people take pride in their praise and worship team because it's off the chart. But the preaching of the gospel is just suspect. Preach anyway. There are people that take pride in being able to feed the hungry, but they don't welcome them into their sanctuary. There are people that take pride in making sure people go off to college, but they don't care if they ever come back. They take pride in doing stuff, but they don't take any pride in knowing that there is more for them to do. That's why churches seem to die daily. Because they think they have reached the end. And they've allowed people and environment to tell them, you have done such a wonderful job. You are so wonderful and so great. And you have just been so awesome for our community. And guess what they do? They sit on it. And then they start noticing people leaving. And they ask themselves, why would you leave this place? Why would you go somewhere else? That's what they were dealing with in the temple. That's what they were dealing with in the synagogue. Why are you running out to that guy? Because y'all done stopped talking about God. He's saying something that makes sense. You don't even want us up in here unless we are paying for our sacrifices and stuff. So why should we show up? And they go see this man from Galilee. This brother that grew up in Nazareth that everybody didn't want to be bothered with. And they start listening to a message and seeing works that were contrary to what they've experienced. When God is moving in the midst of us, you will discover that there are some thirsty souls that have been waiting all their lives to encounter God. Yes, they're going to come. Yes, they're going to be in the pews. Yes, they're going to be everywhere. But let me tell you something. They're coming because they've been waiting all their life for an encounter with God and not just the status quo. Folk don't want just church. They want to be the church. They don't just want you to say, we had good church on Sunday. They want to know, how is God moving in your midst? Yes. Don't rest when people compliment you on what you do. Know and point back and say, God is the one that gives us the ability to do it. Now I get to the last point and I'm finished. Why do I keep going back to that? Because the last thing you ought to do is always function in humility. Nobody likes someone that gets up and brags about what they do all the time. You know that crowd, you know what I said earlier, I don't like crowds, right? You know what makes a crowd situation worse for me? When I get into private situations with the wrong folk. Let me tell you what I mean. You know, it can be a small group of people. We just having a good time and stuff starts off. Actually, without referencing who and what, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm good for stories. True story. Went over to a friend's house, like I do all the time. Really good friend of mine. Wife and I go over there. A few other couples are over there. We're over there for a fight party. My boy asked me to do some stuff on the grill. I'm doing stuff on the grill. We're having a good time. Then one of these couples come. Husband's cool. He's cool, whatever. But his wife comes through, and she the type of person that decides to, you know, that one up person. Like everything has got to be a one-upsmanship thing. So when I'm with people, I don't go to places and call myself pastor. Let me rewind that. I don't go places and call myself doctor. Like if you invite me to your house and it's a situation where we eating and watching something on TV, I'm straight up Charles. I want to eat my wings. Watch a fight, mind my business. If Jesus comes up, we're going to talk about Jesus. It always happens, but I don't go in there with this mission to I'm going there to watch a fight. Amen. I'm going there to watch somebody get knocked out. I am not there. No, I'm not there to entertain you with my theological prowess. No, I am there to grill up some wings with my boy, sit with my friends, eat, laugh, talk a bunch of crap, have a good time. Amen. So I'm on the grill. Again, I'm grilling, I'm chilling. Finds out that I'm preacher, and of course, you know, most conversations be like, oh, you in ministry? Yeah, that's cool. And we move on. Unless it's just something so deep. Like, can you pray for me? And this wasn't deep. I'm on the grill. I'm making sure stuff don't burn. This woman comes up to me trying to ask me about what I know from Sunday school on X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, what I wanted to say was, you see that I am over an open flame, right? And I'm trying to make sure I don't burn your food. But right now in my spirit, I'm so vexed because you're trying to prove that you know something with another person that knows Jesus like you do, that I feel like I need to burn your stuff and keep everybody else's stuff up. No, I was irritated. And when you irritate me, I get silent and I just start answering stuff like, irritated my soul. Because all she wanted to do was try to prove that she knew what I knew. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there for a Bible Olympics. I was there to eat some wings, watch a fight, and have a good time. And my good time got messed up for almost an hour. Because 15 minutes I was already sick of her, and the next 45, it took me 45 more minutes to be to myself and to get back into the spirit of watching the fight. If you know Jesus, you are not out here to try to prove to folk how much you think you know about Jesus. Humility is that no matter how far God takes you, you always point back to the one that brought you here. So, if you are out in the street and you meet somebody that doesn't know the Lord, your responsibility is not to go out and prove to somebody that you are a theological giant. No, your responsibility is to go out there and let somebody know that you would not be here right now today if God didn't make it happen. When Jesus silenced those demons, he silenced them because it was not time for people to know who he was. It was not time for him to go out there and just declare that he was the Son of God. It was not time for them to embrace who he really was. And when it's time, God will elevate you and reveal to the world who you really are. You don't need to announce it. You don't need to tell it. God will do it all by himself. And when God delivers you, God will show the world that it wasn't your effort, it wasn't your ability, but it was by the grace of the Almighty God that you are here in this moment right now. There are people that know your story. They know where you used to be. They know what you used to do. They know what you were all about. So why would you go around and act as if you did it by yourself? If it wasn't for the Lord picking you up, if it wasn't the Lord cleaning you up, if it wasn't for the Lord making it happen in your life, you wouldn't be able to say, I got a testimony. So be humble. When people try to hype you up, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. No. Thank you, but someone told me you somebody's preacher, and I got nervous getting in the car because I heard it. But let me declare, I'm nobody's preacher, because I remember when I couldn't talk, God gave me a voice. I couldn't speak properly. And God allowed me to go through speech therapy, and now I stand 21 years later able to declare with clarity about who God is. I ain't been perfect or anything else, but by the grace of God, he says, you're all right to tell somebody that you can take somebody who feels imperfect and who feels less than whatever, and I can change their life. Humble yourself. Don't let people fool you. They couldn't pull their stuff together. Rich people needed a loan. Everybody needed somebody. Your job, you got people in HR, so you needed somebody to have actually said yes. And you, in some instances, you needed divine intervention for them to say yes. Don't come on, tell the truth. Some of us were underqualified for the things that God gave us, and yet God made it happen. So you want to control everything from trying to close in on you and suck the life out of you and trying to take away your purpose and your mission and your focus? Take a step back. Get ready, because your stuff's going to get disrupted. And make sure you walk humbly with God. Amen. And watch how God will use you to what? Bless people. I'm through.